Okay, so we need to talk, first of all, about our homework and then about some of the things that we're going to be doing today. How many people did readings? Excellent. All of you who didn't, you have to do six tonight. So, Greg Keene, you're going to have to talk in his circle. Okay, so, oh, not again. Oh, go away. Every time, for those of you who haven't taken my classes, every single time I teach a class, somebody in spirit makes me cough. Because I don't know why. That's the place I'm most sensitive because my father died of a broken neck. But, boy, I don't know. I tell them not to do it, but, you know, spirit doesn't listen. I had a client just last week. I have to share this with you. I had a client last week who got in touch with, I think it was her mother or her aunt, her favorite aunt, best aunt, I think, I can't remember which, one of the lovely women in spirit with her. And she had just passed, and she asked, I need to know, is mom okay? Is mom happy? Does she have purpose? The mother said, well, just because I'm dead doesn't mean I'm dead. Isn't that funny? In 30 years, I never heard that, but I'm putting that in one of my books, I'll tell you. Okay, so here's what, I might put these, tie these up here. I want to talk about, we're going to do, if you guys looked at the agenda for today, we're going to be doing a lot of how to apply everybody here that wants to read tarot is also either a medium or does psychic readings, right?
Right.
Yes, okay. And even if you don't think you are yet, you are. Because everybody who's a reader reads everything, okay? That's why Neil on Fun Fests, you know, reads banana peels and chicken bones and, you know, and because you can read anything. You can intuit anything. Ellie is an astrologer. I know astrology. And when we go to salad bars, when we get back from a salad bar, we will read our plate based on what's in the 12 houses on the plate. So you can read anything at all. But the nice thing about tarot cards is that once you start to know what they mean and really start to work with them on a regular basis, and they literally become a part of your lexicon, a part of your symbology that spirit and your higher self and your intuition can work with to give you messages, not just when you're doing a tarot reading, but when you're doing all other types of reading, okay? I find that I get, when I'm doing a reading and I don't even have the cards, or I do radio mediumship a lot on my sister's radio show on HayHouse.com, HayHouseRadio.com, I think it is. And I find that when I'm doing a radio show reading, Spirit will actually show me a card. Oh, you know, you don't have to say, oh, I'm seeing the Eight of Swords. I'm feeling as if I'm all tied up. I'm defensive about something. Once you have even the most simple connection to the meaning of the cards, it will be part of your intuitive vocabulary. And Spirit will use any card, even when you're not using cards, to give you messages. So, and that's one of the things that we're going to be practicing today, okay? All right, so let's see what we have here. Go to the right page. Okay, so one of the first things we're going to be talking about today and on our agenda today is transferring tarot allegory to psychic and mediumistic messaging. I just started to talk about that, but one of the things that also is very helpful, when you get a card, you can say, even this card is the Six of Cups, everybody, right? The children in the garden, and there's not a lot of action in that. He is giving the cup to his little sister, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and we are doing cups today. I'm not talking about you.
He was the
You have to put your foot down. Okay. And they do too. Okay, so here you're going to say, instead of saying, I see two children, or that type of thing, just the definite meaning, there's a family history with your siblings, a close history with your siblings, something's up with your siblings, I want you to use, or try to use, the word I, okay? Just like you do in mediumship. Okay, in mediumship, you often use the first person as if Spirit is talking to you and sharing their information and with you in a way that you feel it in a first person. So you would feel, you'd say, like with the Eight of Swords, you would say, I feel all tied up. I feel defensive. You would say, I feel like I have a strong sibling history. I feel as if there was a lot of sharing with my brother or sister. I feel as if this relationship is important right now because it's coming up right now, okay? And then whatever you focus on, then you can also talk about that in the I. Now, you don't have to exclusively use the I. It's not like this is dogma, okay? But once in a while, throw that personal experience as if it's your history. And that actually shares it with your client in a way that actually makes them feel like, wow, she or he's really got it. They get me. That is me. She's, you know, just even that personal touch there. So use the word I and talk about it in an I state, okay? Okay. Okay, like I'm walking up a rocky road. And the more you do this, the more you guys will feel as if you're getting it internally and not just in your head trying to remember the meaning of the cards, okay? And that's one of the reasons why today we're not only talking about, today we're going to be doing the intuitive allegory and how to kind of expand it in your psychic work, but also reading the story of the card, okay? And indeed, we're going to go through a little process before we even start to talk about the cards so that you can practice reading the story of a card, okay? Because once you read the story of the card, to read the story of the card, you have to allow your imagination to go crazy. You have to give it to your imagination to create a story. Okay? Like if you're looking at that Six of Cups, and that's a chapter that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you could say, I have a wonderful family history here, and I feel as if the beginnings of my life were warm and comfortable, and now I'm evolving here, but this relationship is still important, and it feels to me as if the door needs to be open or is open to this sibling, and there's some importance here. And so take it through the process. And of course, if you take a look, and I guess we're doing the Six of Cups now before we're even doing the Six of Cups. If your mind gets drawn, take a look at your Six of Cups. Everybody got your cups out? Take a look at your Six of Cups and take a look at the left side. In the distance, you see a man walking away. Now, if your eyes are drawn to that, if you are compelled to notice that, part of the story is that dad or mom or one or both of the parents may have been more absentee in your childhood. Not gone or, you know, like divorced or not, it can be divorced, but not necessarily. It could even be somebody who worked really hard and wasn't home for their kids. But that could be an element of your story. Okay? If you get attached or attracted to the building, that could be an element of your story. Okay? So whatever you're attracted to. Now, don't interpret the card that way all the time. Only if you're pulled to notice the guy who's walking away. Okay? Because usually it's a beautiful childhood memory, a good relationship with siblings, you know, that type of thing. And an import with the siblings now. And when I say siblings, that could also mean people who are like siblings, you know, your best friend, you know, siblings from a past life who actually end up being your best friends now. So, okay. Any questions about that? if you elaborate on the story, if you practice telling the story with the different cards, then you're going to actually start to build your own psychic imagery more strongly for two reasons. One, you're engaging in the meaning of the card without studying a book. You study a book and you're in your head. You're not in your feeling. You're not in your imagery, right? Everybody can see that? So you're not in your head. You don't have to commit it to memory. You just have to talk about it when you see it. And the next time you see it, you may say a different story. And you know what? That's okay, because the person you're talking to is a different person, right? So you just practice telling the story, and you're going to actually heighten your psychic and mediumistic skills because you're out of your head, you're in your and you're in your imagination. You can't tell a story without being in your imagination. So it requires you to be in the very place where spirit talks to you, your spirit and the spirit people of your client. So that's why the story part is very important, but not just the details of the cards. Build a story around it, okay? Build a story around it, and you'll get intuitive you'll get intuitive messages and intuitive bits inside the story, and let those happen as well, okay? All right. Oh, and you know what? I do want to pass these out, Linda, if you can just send these around the table. I'm going to be doing a drawing, so put your name and email address on a card, okay? All right. Okay, so the other way we broaden our intuitive metaphor, which is, again, this is, you heighten your intuitive and mediumistic and psychic energy and experience, and you can broaden intuitive metaphor. In other words, you can expand the metaphors, one, that you use when you're being a medium, when you're doing psychic work, and you can also expand your own history of the images that you see. Now, okay, so how do we do that? Let's pick a different card here. Did someone say something? Okay. All right, let's pick a different card here. Okay. So we want to expand. How we expand our intuitive metaphor here is by expanding the action of the card. So let's take the Three of Cups. You guys, we're not going to do the drawing until later. You don't have to fill it out right now. Anytime. So take your Three of Cups, and let's look at your Three of Cups. So anybody want to tell me the meaning of that card without studying anything?
Celebration.
Celebration, exactly. That is the meaning of this card, okay? All right. Okay, so that's the meaning of the card, and that indeed, if that's the only thing you say in a reading, you'd actually be fine with that, because you're going to have like 17 other cards to read. So it's not like you have to fill 20 minutes about a celebration. But if you start to learn to expand the action of a card, and in a second we'll get to the actions of cards that sit collectively, then you're going to be able to expand your delivery in mediumship and psychic work too. Okay, so look at this card. This is a celebration. They're dancing, and I want you to talk about the action. They're close buddies, they're united, they're dancing, they're celebrating. There's lots of fruit in harvest around their feet. There's grapes in her hands, they're raising their cup, they're toasting somebody's success, somebody's happiness. You see how you expand the story, okay? Now you don't have, again, you don't have to do that in every reading where you have 15, 16 other cards, but that's one of the things that if you start to do that, then you're going to expand not just the metaphor, but also the things that you get from the card. Also, there's not only grapes, but there's pumpkins. So this could be a celebration, a happiness, a success in the fall. There's three women who are celebrating together. They're united. So they could be working together to create this success. This could be a partnership, a joyful partnership of three. And they take action together. And every day is a joyful day as they take action together towards the harvest that they're working for in the fall.
Wow.
That's expand. Okay, and that's from three people dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, you see what expanding the metaphor, expanding the action, taking the action further. Do you see how that happens? And all you have to do is give yourself over to your imagination and talking about what you feel emotionally, what you get of the visceral experience of what this card is. You know, yes, you can talk about its literal meaning, which is a celebration, and sometimes it's a wedding too. But it's also a partnership of three, and often a partnership of three women, right? So anybody have questions about whose card is this? Oh, thank you. And I left my cards here, and I didn't open them yet. Okay.
I got this one last night, and I was reading a man, and I was drawn to the front figures like cheering, and they just said that's him with other people, like he was the ringleader. He was there. So it doesn't really matter if we impressing it to be.
Even though there are three women, it can indicate a partnership, a union with men, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be men. Yeah. Just like that three of pentacles are all men, but they could be partners for women, three partners, business partners for women, too. So, yeah. But very often, it's a card of celebration. That's really its first primary meaning.
And that's what I did come up with that first.
Yeah.
It was the other.
Uh-huh. But also, I will say that is the only card that has indications of the autumn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There really aren't any other cards. Certainly, there are other cards that have fruit on them. But, you know, pumpkins and that type of thing, which are specifically autumn, that's the only card that has that in there. So there can be an element of time there. Although it doesn't restrict a celebration to the autumn. If you get pulled to the pumpkin, there's something coming next autumn or something like that. And again, depending on the house that you get in it. If you get the Three of Cups in a workhouse, the celebration could be about work. Or if you get it in the marriage house, the celebration could be a union. You see what I'm saying? So depending, and we'll study the houses. I don't remember if it's tomorrow or Thursday. So, because you don't know, you guys don't have enough to learn. Yes, Debbie.
When are you going to show us that layout?
I don't remember which day it's on. Do you guys, I can change it around. We can make it tomorrow, but we got to study the cards too. All right, so I can't. I'll look and see when it's scheduled, and also see if we can maybe make some movement through today and do a couple things from tomorrow. And then, although I didn't bring tomorrow's handouts with me, so, darn. Okay. Oh, I could get them at lunchtime. Okay. All right. Okay. So now I want you to take a look. Do you have your cards? We got the cups out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do is take the Eight of Cups. And say the Ace of Cups and put them together and put the Ace to the left and the Eight to the right like this everybody, Ace to the left and Eight to the right. Everybody see that? Okay. All right, so now we're going to only have one card of action to talk about. You have two cards of action to talk about. So somebody describe to me a little bit of the action of these two cards together. Anybody?
Beginning of a journey.
The beginning of a journey? Okay. Anyone else? Yeah?
His cup is overflowing. It's going to be a good journey. And there's lots of cups if you add them together. I
mean,
And so even though it looks like he's walking away from something, he's going towards something better that's going to be
better for him.
Uh-huh.
Cup is overflowing.
Uh-huh.
They add up to 9 cups, which is the number of completion.
Yes, 9 is the number of completion, and if you add them together, and that's a good and very astute awareness, but you have to know numerology, yes?
I'm feeling he's on a quest, almost like the Holy Grail. This is a divine gift that is missing in his life.
He's seeking something. He's moving forward. Yeah. Okay. So there are combinations of everything you guys said. So we know that the aces are all new beginnings, okay? Aces are new beginnings of home, heart, and spirituality, right? Ace of Cups is. The Ace of Cups is. Right, Cindy?
Can the eight
it's going to be the new beginnings, and then the 8 be walking away from reflecting on the past emotions?
Yes. The 8 is actually, if you look at the description, the 8, and you talk about that action. Here's a man who has built a wall of 8 cups, and he seems pretty done with it. I'm done with this. It's time for me to move on. Okay?
Plus, it's nighttime.
It's nighttime.
Dark, and he's heading into the underworld.
Yes. It's nighttime. His trip isn't lit. His trip is by day. His trip is motivated by emotions, Cindy, just like you said. Not motivated only. It's not an emotional knee-jerk reaction. But moon is reflective and emotional and spiritual. Moon is yin and reflective. So what he's doing is moving under the dead of night, but through his intuition to know that he is done. Okay? He's done, so it's time to move on. Yet, I'm sorry, go ahead, honey. What?
To me, it doesn't look finished because it's not.
Because there's a hole in it. Yeah.
And then this might.
Yeah, that's very good. It doesn't look finished to us, but there's a being finished to him. So even if he thinks, other people think he should stay with this job, stay with this work, that type of thing, he's ready to move on. Did you have a question, George?
No.
Okay. So, but oddly, here's the Ace of Cups, bingo, right before moving on. What the heck sense does that make?
He's going to.
Anybody? Linda.
Well, he's going to make a new beginning.
He is making a new beginning, but this new beginning precedes him leaving. Yes?
He's come to the realization of what makes his current situation empty.
Well, yes, that's true, and that's what's bringing him to new beginnings.
He's inspired.
He is inspired. I'm still looking for one other thing.
He's overwhelmed by the amount of...
What's that?
Could he be overwhelmed by the amount of change?
He may be a little... Because he is kind of walking with the stick and the dark. It's a rough... It's not an easy change. So he could be overwhelmed.
He's looking for a spirit. He's going more towards...
For spirit. He's motivated. He certainly is motivated spiritually. Yeah. What else, though, guys? Yes, he is looking for something that will fulfill him because he feels done with this. But specifically the action of these two together, the water?
There's no water coming out of the cups to the right, so he's lost the inspiration that he started with in the first place.
No, that's a little bit, that's no.
It's raging.
Lucinda, I'll tell you, and one more guess.
Well, I see it as that when he does look spiritually, he is overflowing with love, and that the bird at the top,
the dove, yes,
the dove will provide peace, and it also provides freedom for him, that if he actually goes away from what he's doing now.
Yes, and all of that, yes, that's true, and all of that is true, but in a very literal sense, the action and the juxtaposition of the ace before the 8, a new beginning before the leaving, means that the seed for the next journey is planted before he leaves. Just like Debbie's thing yesterday with doing one thing on the side. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, this will stimulate him. You're right. It will stimulate him. It spiritually motivates him. He knows where he wants to go. He realizes that with this thing coming along that he wants to move on from this thing. But the other crucial component is I'm starting this before I leave this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because usually you would say this conflicts, but it doesn't at all, okay? So the starting before the leaving, right? Okay. And anyone want to tell me about, besides the being night and the moon, what about the moon? It's a quarter moon and a full moon. The moon in one moon is showing us two phases of the moon. What does that tell you about the leaving? There's two phases. There's two phases in the leaving. We either have to prepare for the leaving and then leave, or we have to leave and then come back to it because we're not done, or maybe we're selling a business and we sold the business, but we have to train the new owners. There's two phases to the leaving. Yes, Lucinda.
I have an astrology question.
Yes.
I can never remember. The moon, your sun rising versus your moon.
Your sun isn't your rising sign.
Okay, so
your
is the moon portion of you the one that you reflect to others outwardly, or
no? Your rising sign is your expression to the world.
To the outside world.
Yeah,
and the moon
your
is
moon
your
is your inner reflective emotional experience, psychic emotional inner experience. Right. Your rising sign is how you want the face you want to give to the world, and indeed, how you want to define yourself. Sometimes the face we want to give to the world isn't how we define ourselves, but it's the way we'd like to define ourselves.
But
yes, Debbie.
Also, your sun as well as your rising sign.
Your sun is out. Yes. How you shine, how you express yourself, all of that,
yes.
Certainly. But your rising sign is more about how you define yourself,
yes.
And express,
yes.
The face, not so much your personal expression.
Well, that's the
but
birth
yeah.
time. That's what it's depending
right.
on your birth time.
Right. Exactly.
You
yes.
On Earth.
Yes. Yes. And I like your earrings. Okay, so everybody see how, yes?
Is our cards to the left always past?
What's that?
Are cards to the left always something
yes.
in the past? And how do you determine how long ago?
We're going to talk about time at sometime this week, but when we do the Wheel of Fortune,
uh-huh.
we'll be talking about 6 month, 8 month period, 2 year periods, and then with individual specific questions. Just singular, individual, specific questions. You lay down a number of cards till you get the answer,
okay.
And you and each card is a month.
Can I ask a follow-up, please?
Yes.
this happened yesterday. I wanted to read from left to right, but she had laid down the cards right to left, and so we read.
Well,
right
she had laid the cards left to right to her.
Right. So do
yeah.
I read them that way? Or do I read
them? Wait a minute. Who was doing the reading?
I was doing the reading.
Oh, then you lay down the cards.
Okay.
You get. They cut the cards. They shuffle the cards, and then hand you the cards,
okay.
And then they lay. Then you lay down the cards.
Okay.
And then right.
Because the reading made sense left to right, but it didn't make sense right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you were the one that was supposed to lay down the cards. And yes, Debbie.
I want to follow up on that question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
When they were laid down, I felt. Push to actually change the position of cards.
Oh.
So the left is past and the right is future.
Right.
Okay.
To the reader.
To the reader.
Not
no,
to
absolutely.
The yes,
to the
not
reader.
To the
yes.
client.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then if you ask them to hand you the cards
yes.
or put that on your desk,
yes.
I always tell them to put it to if they put it like this horizontally to me,
yes.
I don't even touch it. I say no, you need to hand it to me vertically. Because if I change it to this, then I could be changing their energy. If I change it to this, it's the opposite energy. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
So I want them to give it to me vertically, and then how it turns will be. So you see, everybody, you want them to hand you the cards in a vertical fashion so that they are the ones that determine the order that they come in. But you're right, I've done some readings where I looked at it and I said, These aren't this person's card, and I picked them all up and did it again because you just have a feeling. Or this doesn't belong here. Toss that card. Oh, whose are these?
Right.
Okay, George.
Thanks.
All right. So everybody sees how you can talk about the action of one card, two cards together, three cards together. Now, just because those cards, yes, it's possible that the Ace of Cups. That new beginning of heart and spirit actually was the trigger or the cause to create the new thing and therefore make plans to leave the old thing. But even if that's the case, that is an indication of something that's, if not causal, at least tied together in that way. But not all of the things that you can tie the action together actually is the cause for something. Okay, it just happens at the same time or situations that come together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's how you read the action of one or two cards put together. All right? All right. Let's see where we are here. Okay, so card placement. Okay, everybody's got their cups out. And what I want you to do is just from the rest of your deck, I want you to pick five cards, not looking at them, and put them in front of you left to right. Well, you can leave the cups out because we're still going to talk about them. You don't have to leave them spread out. We can spread them out again. But just take five cards from your deck. Don't worry about shuffling too long. This is just a lesson, although there's no accidents. Everything's a reading, right? What's that?
You don't want to, we have to separate our suits.
Oh, you put all your suits together. Yeah, you don't want the same. Yeah, so shuffle just a little bit if all your suits are together.
Want us to look at them or just lay them?
No, you can, just lay them out left to right and you can look at them. You can lay them out face up, left to right.
How many did you say?
Five.
Face up?
Face up.
Are we taking five from the cups or five?
No, not from the cups, from the deck.
Thank you.
Because I want you to have different suits.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay. Uh-oh. What's uh-oh about that? Oh, because you got the queen that has the penis? If I hear one more thing about the queen with the penis.
I mean, that's a thing.
The queen of wands is supposed to have upside down, have a phallic in it. Okay, so everybody got your five cards in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, so now what I want you to do is just take a look at your cards and think about the action within the cards and the action that goes from one card to the next to the next. No, you mean no, keep them the way they land.
Okay.
Yeah, no, don't turn them all upright. And I want you to start noticing the action. And I'm just going to come around and take a look. All right. Don't hesitate. Start to really talk to yourself, not out loud. About what you see in the action of the card, just like I did with the Three of Cups. Are you having boss problems?
We have very non-supportive administrative.
Okay. See those two together. That's what those two mean. See? Yes. Carolyn has the Tower and the High Priest. And the Tower and the High Priest together would mean that the High Priest is connected to the drama and the trauma of the Tower. So the big guy, the boss, the organization heads are making great difficulty. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. All right. See how those two connect then? Okay. All right. Also, let's see, action here. There's a career that you want to engage your mind, but it doesn't make you the money you want. Yes?
True.
Yes. See those two cards together. She has the Queen of Wands upright, the Queen of Pentacles upside down. Queen of Wands is the woman of mind, somebody who wants to be creative in the mind. And the Queen of Pentacles realizes that at this moment in time, that's not going to make her money. That's bringing the action of the two cards together. Okay? Well, that's interesting. I'm going to tell you, everybody. Can I take your cards?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I need 10 fingers, but okay. All right. I want to see. Okay. Was the victory card first?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I want everybody to look at this. Okay. I'm going to go around so you could look at it. You don't have to. We have the Five of Swords, the Empress, the Devil, the Hermit, and the Two of Wands. Everybody see that? You don't have to get a close look. I just want you to see the theme there. Everett, what do you notice about the colors? There's only one black card. But it's a big black card, and it's at the center. So things are not as black as they seem if every other card in the reading is yellow and blue. Right? She does feel stuck about something. And it's something important to her, or it wouldn't be the center card. But the other comparative action that you can call is the coloring of the card. And if there's all bright yellow and blue cards and only one black card, it's not going to be as damaging, it's not going to be as permanent, it's not going to be as big a worry as she thinks. Does that make sense to you, honey?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So the other comparison besides action is color.
Thank you for making me feel better.
Okay. The other comparison when you see a number of cards is the color, okay? You know, I'm not a big fan of those cards. No, those aren't the originals.
That's what's said on the box.
Let me see. The original wider. That's not how. I have cards from the 60s, and that's not the original colors. They're the original drawings, but that's not the original colors.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a blurrier. The original colors either. These are from the 60s, but these are not the original colors.
Well, yeah, that's true. He did them in the 30s, right? So
they came out in 1901.
Oh, 1901.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little later than that. But, and indeed, but this has much more vibrancy. See if you can find a deck like this. You know, you want to do that for yourself. You're right, and the edges are blurry. Like whoever is that? That's not U.S. Games, is it?
It is.
Yeah. It is U.S.
That's
Games.
That's one of their celebratory of the.
He did it as a marketing ploy.
Yeah, to make.
Who did?
Stuart Kaplan.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Like antique or something.
He cheated.
Well, U.S. Games didn't used to print them like that, so I don't know. You'll have to get them from some other source. Get them from some other source. That's sad to hear. Find out that they're screwing with that, because U.S. Games was pretty good.
I think they feel that these are closer.
And these are blurrier, like they're taking a fourth or fifth generation, you know,
see,
picture.
These are made with screen. The original ones were made with screen backgrounds, and they're trying to pick that up photographically. These don't have any screens, and you know, textural screens. Mm-hmm. They're just all the hand line stuff. But when they originally produced them, I think they did a.
I think these are much more defined and much more colorful. Anyway, okay, so you can compare the action. Okay, how did your action compare? What are you guys looking at? So this is your very thing in that we talked about. You have the world before leaving, right?
Is he not going to be like dead? Like my love life is gone? It's really the combination of them. I'm troubled.
I don't think it's love. It's trouble. I don't think it's certainly a disappointment.
Yes,
it's certainly a disappointment. Okay. I could go around and give you the action for each one of you, but we wouldn't be done till 2. But I do want you guys to see how they're connected. All right? Do you see that even though this disappointment is here, there is a new energy, a delay with a new energy, but a birth in a small way that takes you? Do you see? So it's, if you have a negative card, followed by a positive card. Let me take these for 1 second, okay? Yeah. This is the other thing that if you have a difficult card, Dan, sorry, honey. If you have a difficult card followed by a good card, see this? The Three of Swords is the pierced heart, right? Okay? And that's a pretty yucky card, right? Everybody see that? But it's followed by the Page of Wands. This is very similar to the one black card in the brightly colored ones. If a difficult card is immediately followed by a card of youth, new life, energy, and indeed even success and positivity, this disappointment can be, doesn't need to necessarily actually be, it depends on the person, but this disappointment can be dealt with quickly and easily and moved through and released very well, okay? Especially by seeing and holding on to new ideas, new belief systems, okay? All right, because Page of Wands is little ideas, little implications in your ideas.
Right.
So that's the other kind of action. If a negative card's followed by a positive card, like this here, the negative thing is not as disruptive or permanent. Let's say permanent. It certainly could be as disruptive for a week or two or something like that. And indeed, you might even feel like the flipping world's ending. But like in 2-3 weeks, then things are all better. You see? if a negative card is followed by another negative card is followed by another negative card, this is indicative of a phase, okay? A phase of difficulty, challenges, that type of thing. So we're studying a lot about how the cards work together, okay? And so you read the action together, you read the colors together, you read the determination of negative cards or difficult cards, let's call them difficult cards, followed by positive cards, or vice versa, okay? And how many cards those are. You have to look at the whole big picture. All right, let me see here. What did you do? What did you do? Okay. All right, so now there is, besides the action and the chronology is the element of time. Like I said, when we put the cards down for the answer of a specific question, you can count each card as a month, except if it's a long-term goal thing, okay? So, and you we'll see more about that as we do the Wheel of Fortune. Okay, so then the other thing that we can also, the chronology, besides the chronology of counting months, again, the positive card following the difficult card or the challenging card indicates a very short chronology in or duration of a difficult event. Yes?
In your travels, did you see anybody who had a difficult card with other difficult cards around it, and then how would you deal with that client?
Let's see if I see anything that's here.
I got three here.
You got three difficult cards in a row? Oh, death isn't a difficult card.
But I think this combination is. No,
no, death is actually transformative. That's actually, I love the death card. So I would, it wouldn't count. It may be difficult in that, you know, sometimes it's hard to leave old things, but you don't get the death card if you're not really ready. So it's an exciting card, really. So you
would not.
I would not put these.
Somebody potentially checking out.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely not.
He has. Okay, let me. The only time I've ever seen death as a death, physical death, was in the sixth house of health, and in 35 years, that was only like 4 or 5 times. Okay, and I get death in the sixth house of health all the time because the sixth house is also your daily work. Here is his configuration, and it's important. Let's add this one too. Okay, all right. So he thinks, okay, so we have death card here, followed by the Knight of Swords here. I mean, the King of Swords here, okay, followed by the Tower card, followed by the Magician, okay? So death is the card of transformation, okay? Transformation is coming to this person here, but this person, the King of Swords, is a man of steel, unbendable and flexible, somebody who doesn't change easily. So the advent of transformation in the King of Swords' life will bring this. Will bring the Tower card, because the Tower card, the King of Swords, will feel as if it's the ending of everything he's built, worked for, created. But after it's all really over, he gets to be the Magician. This is in no way a physical death. This is a wonderful transformation. Now, the person you're thinking about, and you're thinking about somebody, not yourself, right?
Yes.
Isn't he stubborn? Tell me he's not stubborn. I'll tell you you're lying.
I don't think of him that way.
Okay.
It's actually a woman.
Okay, all right. All right, that's, well, if it's a woman as the King of Swords, then you're misplacing whom you're thinking about. Because the woman, if a woman comes up as the King of Swords, this woman is practically a metaphorical dominatrix in her life.
Okay.
And if she's not like that, you're misplacing, you're misidentifying whom it belongs to.
The first card is that this and the Magician are her, the three middle are her husband.
Okay.
Who's...
Is her husband, you know what? No, I don't, so you're seeing her husband who is what, sick?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I think you're misplacing this, honey. I'm not talking about her husband not being sick and maybe perhaps even passing, but this is somebody else in your life. And this is somebody else in a facet of transformation. Death is not physical death, unless it's in the sixth house of health, and even rarely then. Death is much more, much more. And it has to do with a man who has trouble changing, but wants to change. Does everybody see that? And look what happens at the end. Is this your partner?
No.
No?
No.
There's somebody else around.
It's a good friend.
It's another, you can identify the King of Swords. Okay, there you go. Okay. And I will say that preceding the Death card, he has the Eight of Wands reversed. And that action connects too, because the Eight of Wands reversed is feeling it out of control. So there's something that makes him feel out of control that makes him realize some changes need to happen. He's hard to make those changes because they feel like he's taken out his foundation. And so it feels difficult with the Tower, but it's a rebirth for him. You've got to give him that message. Because it all ends very well. Yes.
So in your practice, what is a card that would often, that would support a physical death? Do you have a specific card that shows
No. And as a matter of fact, I have a policy not to ever allow spirit to show me death. As soon as spirit starts talking in any way or giving me any reference to death, I say, I'm not talking to you anymore, and ask for another spirit. And I know I make jokes about the people coughing because they don't listen to that, but they listen to that because I'll end a reading if they only show me death symbols. I don't want to know it in my life, and what I can get for a client, I can get for me. And that is sacrosanct, and I don't actually think anybody should know when somebody's going to die, even the sick. Even the sick, because I don't think it helps. And I think predicting death is a terribly irresponsible thing for a reader to do. So I don't do it. And indeed, I will be honest with you, there have been times where some good clients who are in advanced stages of cancer come in for an appointment, and I will actually take the death card out of the pack before I read for them, because I don't want it showing up in any place in their reading. Because I don't want them to think it's their death. And I will do that intentionally. And if that's, I don't think it's unethical. I think it's the most ethical thing to do. But I've never had any other card predict death except the death card. And only, I'm literally 4, 5, maybe 6 times in 35 years. And always exclusively in the sixth house of health. So. And that's fine with me, because I don't want to know it. And even then, I talked about it as transformation, and only later did I find out it was actually death. I don't look for death, and I don't let spirit tell me. So it's a good policy to have. It promotes fear, anxiety, concern, panic. That's not spirit talking, you know.
I think it certainly makes you feel uncomfortable. I've had people ask me that. And I just
say, oh yeah, I get asked. I get asked that all the time. I get asked that as a reader, and indeed, people who are wanting to make a move, for instance, and they don't know whether or not to place their mother in a home or keep the mother with them, or we want to move to California. Should we take her with us and put her in a home there? If she's going to pass soon, I don't want to do that because she likes it here, you know? And I just say, I'm sorry, this is one question I won't ask spirit or the cards, period. You know, I can tell you a little bit about her energy, her physical energy, her mental energy, but that's as far as I will go. It's just absolute with me. That's the only thing I won't ask spirit. Ask the cards. Okay, so we've seen action, chronology, color, movement. And movement from the left to the right, or the right to the left, or up and down. Okay? So let's take a look. I want to get to this side of the room so I could use, so I could display other people's intimate lives. And so so, okay. All right, so let's get an example here. Okay. So this is, wow, these all came upright, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, wow,
I think it's really, really good.
Okay, it is really, really good. Okay, so I'm just going to keep that there because I don't have 10 fingers.
Totally.
I mean, I don't have 10 free fingers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so wait, let me put this, this?
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
yeah.
So, all right. So now there's connection to the cards, and indeed even causation.
The
okay, in these cards. So I just wanted to show you, we have the Temperance card, which is the Angel, the Page of Swords, the Moon card, and the Empress, okay? And then actually followed by the Ace of Pentacles, all upright, okay? All right, so I want you to notice the action of the Page of Swords. The Temperance card is kind of standing there, and we'll talk more about the Major Arcana the day after tomorrow, but look at the Page of Swords. His sword is up this way, okay? But where's he looking? He's looking at the Angel, right? He's looking at the Temperance card, okay? So pages are little bits of action, and swords are actual physical actions and disciplines and practices, okay? Now, they could be mental practices, but you could get the Page of Wands with that as well. So the Page of Swords is starting to take little action relative to his sight, his image, his perspective, which is connecting with the angelic realm, connecting with what we know to the Temperance card to be, which we'll talk about, but that's spirituality. So little action, little pieces of discipline in working on her spirituality will open up her psychism and bring her a more greater sensitivity, and indeed sensuality, sensitivity on all levels, and help her to create a whole new career or new source of income stream. That's how just this little Page of Swords responding. See, you see how there's a response there by by him taking action by what he sees. Okay? So notice where your people are looking. Okay? Notice where your people are looking too, because that's also the that's also part of, where are your five cards, honey? Okay, they're all facing forward here, except for her. There isn't a lot of action here, except that there's the Knight of Pentacles reversed, then it's followed by two men, and the Queen of Pentacles reversed. So it starts, the five cards starts with the Knight of Pentacles reversed and the Ace of Wands. So the action of the Knight of Pentacles reversed, we talked about this yesterday, is walking away from a financial opportunity or actually losing some money in some lawsuit or litigation. Is that the case?
I hope not.
Is there any litigation around you?
No.
Okay, well that's not the case then. Okay, because you would know about the litigation already. So there's some financial opportunity that, although wasn't coming her way, she started to look at new ideas, new thoughts that take her in a different direction. Now, before she gets to the Queen of Pentacles reversed, we go through two men, the Emperor and the King of Pentacles. So something about this new income stream or an opportunity has to do with men, or is connected to men, or is brought to you by men, or has men considerably involved with it. So that's what you need to look for. So all of these things connect together. Okay? Yes?
All of my cards look to the right.
Uh-huh. All of your cards look to the right, not these people. Oh, right? They're looking
at that.
Right. That's right. You were focused on that one. He's got the Three of Pentacles and the Nine of Pentacles. We talked about those yesterday. We'll do the Wands. So it's not so much a looking to the right. There is movement to the right with the Eight of Wands. Okay, the Eight of Wands is movement to the right. Speedy, quick, fast movement. That's into the future, followed by the Page of Pentacles and the Page of Wands is indicative of fast movement into two different occupations or two different activities, one more financial and one more cerebral. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. The Four of Wands we're going to talk about, okay. But
that's the path, the way I'm looking at it.
Right, the path, yes, and your cards to the left are a little bit, could be to the past, but we could also, if we're asking a question, we could go from right now into the future. So we'll talk about the Four of Wands. There isn't a lot of action in this, but there's a lot of expansion in this through your sharing or giving. She's got the World, followed by the Six of Pentacles, followed by the Queen of Wands. So the world is really big expansion. But, well, that's another guy that's going to be involved in some way. She, the Queen of Wands, is looking at the King, the Emperor. Yeah. So there's somebody coming to be possibly helpful or stand in your way. You'd have to put some more cards down to see. Okay? World into the Six of Pentacles, into the Queen of Wands is expansion, teaching, sharing, and into a position of teaching or writing even. Yes. Hey guys, I can't do this.
If you have a situation where all the cards are reversed.
All the cards are reversed or all the cards are upright. Somebody had, oh, Jane had the upright cards, right? All the cards are reversed are not necessarily a bad thing because some of the reversed cards are good. For instance, the Seven of Swords reversed is good. And the Ten of Wands reversed is actually not a bad card or a good card either way. Because the Ten of Wands is just not going to a new city for your work. Staying, deciding to stay where you are as opposed to going to a new city for your work. Okay, let me come over here. Then we got to get on with our lecture. But do you see how they're connected? You're not just giving a reading. One second. You're not just giving a reading, reading one card, then another card, then another card. Does everybody see that? Yes, honey.
I'm curious to how you would read this. I mean, these cards are all cheerful, and this card I think is a good card. Would you read this as a person malevolently?
No.
How would you read this?
No, we'll talk about the swords, but the Five of Swords to me is a victory card. Okay. I know there's tons of books that say, oh, this is deceit, this is someone taking over other people's stuff,